Hello and welcome to a new conversation about software engineering. Today on the CASE podcast, we will talk about Open Tech School. My guest today is Martin Stadler. Martin is a UI engineer and web developer living in Berlin. He is very active in the Berlin chapter of the Open Tech School as an organizer and coach, and currently he's also the chairman of the Open Tech School Foundation. That's the German e.V. Welcome to the show, Martin.
Thanks. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you. So we will be talking about the Open Tech School. So can you say a few words about what that actually is?
Sure. So we do a lot of things, so it's hard to explain in one sentence, but I would say we are a community, and we are about helping people to learn programming or get better in programming. And we do a lot of community-based activities.
Oh, excellent. So obviously this is about learning to program, as you said. So what do you actually provide? I mean, do you have any material or what do you do there?
Yeah, exactly. We have some material for workshops. Initially, we did only workshops, basically 1 day or even 2 day on a weekend workshops for absolute beginners, for instance. So we came up with our own material, how to teach JavaScript for people that never programmed, or Python for people that never programmed, and or Git and like teamwork in programming. And that evolved into also follow-up workshops for people with more experience. And
Cool. What kind of topics are you focusing on? I mean, programming is a very broad topic, so what is it that you're specialized in?
True. Well, we are the Open Tech School, so we're serious about the open. So basically, I think we do mostly web technology in a broader sense, but basically anything technology. Also hardware, we did some Arduino classes. We'd had a discussion about introducing like web design, and that's where we said we want to be technology. So I think basically everything about technology, but kind of around web technology.
Okay, so you gave some examples like Arduino, JavaScript, and Python. What are some other technologies that you have material on or that you do workshops about?
Yeah, actually, just because I said only web technology, we also have a lot of data scientists in our community. Oh. So it's actually a bit broader than I just said. So currently, what I can think of is like JavaScript, HTML, CSS, Ruby, a lot of Python, different aspects. We have some C++ in Zurich, I think. Rust is something that we added to the community, but that's actually kind of a flexible thing. It's like coming and going sometimes.
Okay, so you said that there is also data science involved. So can you give examples of technologies in that field? Because, I mean, so far it's only programming languages, right?
That's true. Okay, I have not much clue about that stuff. Okay. There's other people in the community, but I know they did some R and some database, like MySQL kind of beginner stuff, but also how to use some Python scientific libraries, something like that.
Excellent. So what's the license of the material? Can I just download it, or what's...
Yeah, it's a very permissive license. It's a Creative Commons share-alike license, and basically we discussed when we started this and said we want this to be really as open as possible, so you're even allowed to use it in a commercial background, because well, that could enable contributions back to us. And we also said that our coaches that usually work for free for the Open Tech School, why would they not be able to use the material they contributed also in a commercial environment?
Yeah, except that if you do share alike, it means that whoever attends your course would be able to also share the material, right?
So yeah, the material cannot be closed, but it can be used, yes.
Yeah, okay, sounds great. So I looked at the website and it said that the Open Tech School is a hands-on, empowering, and peer-driven. So can you explain what that actually means?
Okay. So hands-on is kind of the how we do coaching. We believe that it's a good way to learn technology and programming by actually doing it. Right. And we always tell people, like, bring your laptop, or we provide a laptop for you. Just get started, get your hands dirty. So all our workshops and other formats we do involve people actually working on stuff themselves. We don't have any kind of teaching, only showing and talking about something to someone else formats. So that's the hands-on. I guess that's also explaining the empowering, because we want people, when they come to our events, we want them to leave feeling more empowered, being able to do something themselves. We want to motivate them and show them that it can be fun, that it's possible for them to do something. Because a lot of people come as a beginner, they are like really afraid that they will never get it, that they don't know, that they feel like this technology thing is this big beast that they cannot access. And so if you give them some kind of, hey, you type this line of code and the button will be red, that's kind of the empowering thing that they feel like, okay, if I continue here, I can actually learn a lot of things. And peer-driven means that we want to be on one level, like we work together. So like if we have a workshop and someone's learning to program, we're not teaching, we're coaching. Means like we're sitting together and we're explaining that everybody has difficulties sometimes. And also we want to motivate people. When they learn something, they can already coach others.
Okay, cool. So what I find interesting about the Open Tech School is that there are actually quite a few different types of events that you do. So let's talk about a few of them. What about workshops? How do they work?
Okay, yeah, workshop is how we started this. And a workshop means that basically we have to provide some kind of material, some kind of curriculum, and let people know what they are going to be learning. And with a specific target group usually. And those things are more extensive, usually like 1 day or 2 days, as I already said.
So I would meet with other people who are also interested in, let's say, JavaScript or whatever it is, and then you would just go through the material.
Yeah, exactly. I should explain this a bit more in detail. So there's a few things we want to make sure that work for a workshop. So we want to achieve a ratio of coaches and learners of like 1-4 or 1-3 even. It's like one of our ideas that it's not so much stress for the coaches if there's many coaches. And also this is kind of the peer-driven thing that you can talk to a lot of people and ask questions. And it's kind of relaxed because there's not this one person that knows everything. So you will have a lot of coaches and like 4 or 3 times more learners. And you will get a little introduction at the beginning, what is this about? And then you will have the material on your own laptop as a learner, and you will like go through it in your own pace. And coaches will help you. And then we try to organize some kind of lunch break or something that everybody's in the same rhythm, and some demos at the end. And then we let people know, how can they continue where they are?
And would that happen on a weekday or on a weekend?
That really depends. It depends on your environment. So in Berlin, we do a lot of things on the weekend because that works for people, like Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
We also have other experiences where people are not available on Sundays because they don't want to do something like this, and it could also work in the evening. But in general, most of the things we do are for like adults, and the coaches are usually working somehow. So yeah, it's more like evenings and weekends.
Okay. So What's the target group for these workshops?
That depends on the workshop, of course. If we have a beginner's workshop, we try to find people that actually never really programmed before, because we want to do this motivation thing to get them started,
right,
and draw them into the topic. But of course, if there's intermediate or advanced workshops, there's very specific target group, what you should know already. And then, yeah, it depends on the material, if it allows more flexibility. Like, we also have some CSS material with the CSS classes together, and they kind of opened that format in a way that is very, although it's a workshop, it kind of targets a lot of experience levels at once, which I find very interesting.
Interesting, okay. Okay, so much for the workshops. I understand that they are not really, at least in Berlin, the focus anymore. Is that true?
It's more a thing of resources, actually. We would like to do a lot of workshops, but we haven't optimized it in a way that it's almost no work, so it's actually a lot of work to organize them. So it's always easy for us to find coaches. We have a good network in the community, which is actually our main asset, I would say. It can be a bit tiring to organize the workshops, to find the right people that you really want to spend your free time on, like helping, and to find a space and all of these things. There's a lot of stuff to organize. So actually, to answer the question, what can I do after the workshop, we came up with something that initially was called a continuous learning group. And they grew, and now we call them co-learnings. And they are now kind of not separate, but they are kind of big on their own without the workshop continuing thing anymore. We can also turn it around and have people in the co-learnings and then let them know about a workshop, for instance. So they are quite successful currently. And they are even more open, because you just hang out together without any you don't have to be in the target group or something. It's open for everyone, okay, any level. And there's not much to prepare. You just hang out. You show each other possible material to work on. And so the co-learnings are currently happening a lot.
So how does that work? Would I just join that group and then sit there and do stuff? Or
yeah, that's basically a good description.
Okay.
So how we do it in Berlin is, like, we have a topic for a co-learning. So right, we have the web front-end co-learning, a long name, but we want to be specific, mm-hmm, that this is about HTML, CSS, and JavaScript from a user interface perspective. We have a Python co-learning, a Ruby co-learning, a Rust co-learning. I hope I didn't forget anything. But we also had, at least once, and we want to repeat it, an open co-learning, which was like no topic, which also worked really good. So the idea is you have some kind of common topic, be it what Open Tech School does in case of the open co-learning, or what I just said, all these topics. And you just hang out usually in the evening after work, in some like office or like lounge style space. And if you have no idea what to do, if you're really a beginner or kind of looking for inspiration, you can maybe get some inspiration, or someone more experienced can tell you this is a good tutorial for you. Or you bring like your side project or something, or you have a question where you're stuck in your portfolio page or something. And you can try to get people help you, and you can also provide help, but there's no guarantee or anything. It's very open.
So how do you make sure that people actually talk to each other, or, you know, interact in those sessions?
That's a very good question. So there's a few tricks you learn when you do this for a while. Like I'm organizing the web front and co-learning since over 2 years now, I think. And there were good times and times where not so many people came, and when people talk too much or too little. And so you try little things and you learn how this works. So a really, really good thing is that we do an introduction round after a while when everybody's there. It's not so much about being in time. And it's there's just one simple question. What are you going to work on tonight? And so you don't have to tell your life story, where you are, where you're coming from. Just what you want to do tonight. And you get a feeling about people's levels and what they can provide, actually. And so if someone's like, oh, I'm working on this Angular 2 project and I have no clue how to start, someone will say like, ah, I can help you with that. You know, I did that before. Right. But I'm working on this API call to get authenticated and I have some issues with that. And then maybe someone else will say like, okay, that I can help you with that. And someone is maybe coming with this portfolio project and it's like, okay, I have this fancy idea of animations, and someone else will be like, oh, can I just look a little bit what you're doing, because that's really interesting to me, something like that.
Okay, I see. Yeah, sounds great. Anything else we need to cover concerning the co-learning groups?
Maybe what you can do to learn something, because people often ask like, okay, I don't know really what to do. I kind of want to get to a junior position, but how do I do this? So we have a lot of these kind of conversations in these meetings. And these conversations are usually really helpful being in a community and not somewhere online. But then people can recommend each other tutorials or kind of ways to go, which is, I think, very helpful. And we can provide the material we have, but we can also recommend other material. Like, we're not like, oh, this is not Open Tech School. So, yeah, it's like people do a lot of other online programs while they're coming to the co-learnings, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, sounds really great. So, what about Learners Meetup? That's another format that you're doing, right?
Yeah, this one is a very specific one, which is in a way interesting to get new people into the community and also kind of solve the issue of always having one specific topic. Learners Meetup is specifically not one specific topic and usually includes some kind of talk or presentation at the beginning about a technology agnostic topic. Like, of course, not completely agnostic, but something like how does HTTP actually works is interesting for a JavaScript developer or for a Python developer or for basically everyone doing these kind of things. Right. So you get some kind of basic intro to some technology. Can also be social things like how can I apply for a job or something. Learners Meetup is also about being for any level, because after that talk, we usually do something we call mini bar camp, which is essentially a bar camp for 1 or 2 hours. So people will just say what kind of topics they're interested in. We put them on stickers on the wall and we make little discussion groups, and then we come back and present what we discussed about. So it's like a community building open format, which is going on for quite a while now.
Cool. There are other things that you tried and that seemed interesting. So one of them is hackerships. So can you say a few words about that?
Yeah, I wasn't really involved in that, but I'm trying to explain a little bit what happened there. I think really interesting idea was how can we scale some of the things we do in Open Tech School and the values we have and live to something more like full-time, more serious, more career-oriented. So I hope I explain it correctly, but the main idea is that you are already in the industry and you want to get better. You want to improve your position. You want to switch to a new technology. You want to get into a new architecture, something like this. And you decide to take some time off because your current job doesn't provide you this opportunity. So it's a 3-month idea. And you kind of do something like a co-learning workshop thing full time for 3 months. And there will be coaches or hackers in residence was the name, that kind of give you guidance, something like that. And it's kind of a mixture of those hacker schools that are very expensive and kind of the Open Tech School idea. So there was also some kind of donations involved after you go back to work, something like that. Unfortunately, it wasn't really possible to make it sustainable in a financial way. So at the moment, it's not active.
Yeah, it seems like a very ambitious plan, I have to say. The other thing that you try, and maybe one of the listeners might figure out how to make it sustainable. So what about the mentorship program? That's another program that you tried, right?
Yeah, actually, I think this is the first time we officially talk about that because it's kind of in a beta phase, we say. But the idea is to come up with something new in this, in our environment, something that's not new somewhere else. But as I said, in the co-learnings, people ask a lot about how can I make myself be able to apply for a certain position, or what should I learn until I'm really good in programming, or something like this, these kind of long-term things.
Right.
And if you have time to come to a co-learning every other week or something, maybe you feel like it's not enough. And so the idea is to provide a one-to-one mentorship thing in a way that, well, you can basically talk to anyone and ask, hey, can you be my mentor? And can we meet every other week for a coffee or something? But we provide kind of a good matching of people, and we want to make sure that this works in a way we think it should work, like in a healthy relationship. And so the idea is that we actually have something that we call mentor or parent mentor. So we have a third person involved in the one-on-one thing that actually just makes sure everything works well, direction makes sense, kind of asking for feedback. Is your mentee, is that working for you? Is your mentor working for you? And so far it's working great. Like, we do it for a few people. We get good feedback, and we're thinking of extending that.
Yeah, sounds really great. So much for what, how you do it and what you're doing. I think it's also interesting to talk about how the organization works. So, well, first question, obviously, how is Open Tech School actually organized? So what kind of organization is it? How does it work?
Yeah, we are a community. So okay, that's like a kind of vague answer, I know. We also have this foundation, e.V., based in Berlin. But this is more like a legal entity to handle certain things, like certain payments, donations, things like that. And also maybe to decide a little bit where we're heading. But in an international setting, it's always a bit hard to do this in one, from one country or something. So we are really only a community organized in chapters for different cities. So we started in Berlin, and Berlin is kind of big in technology. And I think this kind of do-it-yourself community idea is strong in Berlin in general. So we are the by far the biggest chapter. But we set up a structure where basically you can create your own chapter, which can be very small or very big, it doesn't matter, and just benefit from the network, benefit from the material, from our workshops, collaborate somehow. We have chapters in different cities. So active ones would currently be Bristol and Brussels, Dortmund in Germany, Göttingen. Not sure if there's something going on right now, but maybe they're coming back. Mm-hmm. Hamburg, London, and Zurich. And there's a lot of others that are currently rather inactive. I'm kind of trying to keep the overview, but it's really hard because people really want to work on their things and don't want to do calls and communications all the time. So we are very organized.
Okay.
And sometimes we have these community calls where we have like a video hangout and talk to each other. And we try to make an organizers meetup in Berlin where we just talk about how our individual meetups are going, because every meetup has a few organizers that we share responsibilities. And in other cities, it's like that too.
Okay, cool. So the formats that we just discussed, the type of events that you're doing, It's not like every chapter does the same events, is it?
No, it's not like exactly the same. I think the learners meetup is also happening in Dortmund, as far as I remember, maybe also in Hamburg. Workshops, something that we all share, and usually also use the same material.
Right.
Co-learning is also popular in different chapters. And then each chapter can also have their own kind of new ideas, depending what their community is made of. Look, for instance, in Hamburg, there were a few teachers involved, so they were more interested in working with schools. Yeah, it's, again, very open.
Okay. So how do you make sure that, that good ideas actually spread from chapter to chapter? Is there the way to do that?
It's hard, actually. The community calls can be a means for that. Yeah, it's more like it's actually an issue we have because, as I said, people don't want to work on communication so much and they just feel like they don't have enough free time to do what they do and also work on organizational stuff. So there's some ideas we have how to do it, but they are not always executed. So yeah, having these kind of calls, also kind of having one person per chapter that kind of talks to the others was one idea that's currently not really active. Yeah, I also would love to do some kind of open tech school bar camp where people actually travel and meet. But yeah, it's all not really something that we do on a daily basis.
Okay, I see. Can you talk about how many people are actually involved in this activity?
It's, again, really hard to say for me, actually. I just got this number that our internal email accounts, there's like 130 people having used them in the last year. So that would be organizers, because you only get that email if you're kind of an organizer of your chapter.
Right.
And then coaches are usually not necessarily organizers. Sometimes you are both, but a coach can also be just someone that, hey, would you like to come on Saturday? You know about JavaScript, right? And I know you're like kind of an open and nice person, so we'll give you this coach introductions how to do it, and then you can just do it on a Saturday, and that's it. So we have a lot of people in this kind of network, but actually I have no idea how many. And then in terms of participants, it's also really hard to track because we don't like write down everyone's participation in one of the co-learnings or something. And we have very varying kind of return rates of people that come regularly or only once and check it out. And then maybe it's not the right thing for them, or they choose some other event. So I just know, like, we do a lot of, we do, most of our event organization is done on meetup.com.
Right.
And there we have members of the groups. So for instance, in Berlin, it's a really, really big group. I think it's the biggest group in Berlin. It's like almost 7,000 members.
Wow.
But that can be that half of them are not really active and muting all their emails. I don't really know. But I think because we have so many co-learnings, we have a lot of people like being in touch with the community, so that's great. And also in the other chapters, there's like different numbers, but sometimes almost 1,000 members too. So actually, I just added all those numbers of the active chapters, and it's like 13,000 meetup group members, but I don't really know what that means.
Okay, yeah. But I mean, looking at the schedule, I guess there is like activity every week, each and every week, and I guess more than one activity, right?
Yeah, that's also a great thing about the co-learnings because they are so low maintenance, so low effort.
Right.
Basically, one of maybe three or co-organizers of one of the co-learnings has to be there and has to have a key organized, which is already a commitment, but because we have multiple different co-learning groups, yeah, there's actually something every week, sometimes multiple things in a week, so which is also great to give people a contact point if they want to like talk to someone or just check it out.
Okay. So is there any kind of commercial entity? I think you said there is this foundation, the e.V., the German e.V. So that's, I guess, the entity that sort of officially runs everything, right?
Exactly. At least the things that need something to be run. And we are gemeinnützig. Means in German law that we can do tax deduction and stuff like this. We're not for profit, and we don't have any plans to be for profit in any way. Money can be involved, but yeah, not for profit, and basically to make possible what we do.
So the events are all free for the participants, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I never mentioned that, right? Because for me, it's natural, but it really is not. There's never any participation fee. It's like one of our core values, sometimes being discussed about like, oh, how can we make sure people actually show up? Maybe we charge €1, and then there's some people saying, no, things are for free. You know, this needs to be important. So actually, yes, everything is for free. And also there's no plans on paying coaches.
Right.
Because this is kind of what our community is. People actually like to do that. They also benefit from being coaches because it's a great experience. And as soon as we would start one person for this, that would be strange. Currently, we're not paying anyone to do anything, but that's not something we're proud of, because I think if we find a way to get a bit money in donations and we could pay people for organized stuff, that would be great. Because as I said, like, workshops are not happening so much because of the lot of work of organizing. And I think nobody really wants to do the organizing, so there wouldn't be any problems if someone gets paid for this. Nobody would be like, why is that person pay? Everybody would say, oh, thank you for doing it. But coaching and learning and participating is all for free.
Okay. So let's take a look at the history. So when did you start Open Tech School, and how did you do that?
So the history actually starts with the JavaScript user group in Berlin and Rails Girls. And this was like end of 2012, I think. Mm-hmm. In the user group, we had people from Rails Girls having a talk about what they are doing. So Rails Girls is basically doing roughly the same thing based on Ruby on Rails and focusing on women.
Right.
And so they did that before Open Tech School was born, and we learned about it. And the JavaScript community back then was kind of small and very strong. So we were like, we want to do something like that too, but we also want to use JavaScript or other languages, and we want to just kind of support this idea on a broader level. So we were like, there was a lot of people in that group saying, okay, let's meet, let's talk about how we can also do something like that. And that's how the first JavaScript for Absolute Beginners workshop happened. Like, some people just sat down and wrote material, and we just did this workshop. And there was a lot of energy, and this was great. And so beginning of 2013, this foundation was founded. And then there was like other languages and other people, so that grew from there.
Okay, cool. So what is your motivation? I mean, why are you doing this? It's all for free, so obviously it's not about the money. So what's the reason for people who are involved in Tech School to actually do that and spend all the time on this?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question. Sometimes people don't really get that we just do this without directly benefiting from it. I think there's a lot of answers to that, because we have a lot of different people in our community. I'm trying to think of some. I think a lot of people, or I know a lot of people, want to improve our community. I think this is one of the main common motivations. We want to have a better gender equality. We want to have more diverse people in the community. So we just want to enter one more entry to the industry, to the community. And we focus on doing it in a way that you feel welcome, that even if you're kind of scared, that you have a nice environment, a safe environment to do this. So people spend their free time kind of showing other people that they can do it, that they should be part of that. Then there's people that just like to hang out with like-minded people and spend their free time without any pressure from their boss doing fun things. What else? I don't know. Personally, I experienced that coaching helps me a lot in my own profession, being a software developer or architect or something, because I have to explain concept a lot. And not only that, because that's also something you do in your job anyway, right? But you also get a lot of questions. And it's very, very interesting to think about all of these questions and find answers to them. And you see, oh, people have different perspective on things. And I think that makes you a better engineer, because you learn how to explain things, to document things, to see things from different perspectives. Yeah.
So I found it interesting that you said that this is also about, you know, raising diversity and these kinds of things. So, I mean, with a group like Rails Girls, where, I mean, actually the name already says it's about diversity, this is not too obvious if I look at open tech schools. So do you see that happening? Is it really that people are attracted to our profession and to our field that otherwise wouldn't be attracted?
Yeah, I think Rails Girls are focusing on that more. That's true, like, obviously. But we are taking this open, again, really serious. So we are, like, open to everyone. And so we're not focusing so much on certain groups. But I actually do see this happening. And we're trying to transport that in a way, like, we post pictures from our events where it looks really nice. And then sometimes, and this personally makes me very happy, I get this feedback. Sometimes someone is like, okay, I'm leaving the co-learning for tonight. Thank you so much. And by the way, I didn't expect it would be so nice. And it's like, okay, we're doing something right. People were a bit scared and they found it appealing. And I think, okay, our gender ratio is not 50-50. But I think compared to most of the industry, we have a much better ratio. So that just shows us that we're doing something in the right direction, I would say. And we also have, let's talk about some groups, although I don't really like it, but we have some Syrian refugees sometimes working on projects. We have people recommending our events as a place where you can go and just hang out and feel safe and work. And we try to make this happen by the rules we have, how we deal with each other. Mm-hmm. That we always have multiple organizers or coaches. So if someone is doing something wrong, even if it's not bad intention, someone else can tell them, like, look, this is not how we want to do it. We have some rules for coaches for the workshops. Whenever someone wants to organize something just on their own, we say, like, no, sorry, we don't want to do this because you have too much personal influence, maybe, because this should be community and the community should fix some problems. And we also talk if there's, like, individuals that have problems. We have a lot of other organizers and participants to talk about and solve the problem. So these are the things we're trying to do to achieve that.
Yeah, so I think that's a great message, that if you have proper rules for the community, that it helps with issues such as diversity. So I think that's great.
Yeah, of course. Now we also have a code of conduct and all of these things we take very seriously. I think we need to communicate this even more. So that we don't have people being surprised anymore that things are actually nice and safe and whatever. But yeah, we really focus on that.
Okay. I guess we already sort of covered it, but you were talking about core values. So what are the core values of Tech School? Can you give, like, a short overview?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, we start with openness, which basically means we are open to people, we're open to technologies. and all these different things. And also it includes accessibility, I would say, being like open in the sense that you don't have to pay a lot of money. And empowerment, again, we want to focus that people are actually able to do something themselves, that they type and have it on their machine, feel that they can do it, that it's possible to learn more if they are motivated. Hands-on, I guess we talked about that. Welcoming learning environment. So yeah, there's no reason to feel like, oh, I asked stupid questions or everybody else already knows things because these programmers just know how to do it and I will never do it. These are all these things that people are actually feeling even when they come to us. And we do our best to reduce that. Transparency. It's also something with the multiple organizers and coaches, like everybody can know what we're doing. There's no hidden motives or goals. We're not for profit. We have a foundation where everything can be seen, what we do with money and stuff like this. And yeah, not for profit. Like we're not doing this to have a financial benefit from that.
Okay. So can you share a few success stories from attendees, what they learned and how that what the impact of that was for them?
Mm-hmm. So okay, my personal favorite story is one girl, Jessica. She came to the Webfront and co-learning first, and then she also came to a workshop for the JavaScript for Beginners. She's a biologist, but she wanted to get into technology somehow, at least a little bit. And she continued to come to our co-learning, which is great because often people are coming a few times and then they leave and we never know why and stuff. And so she was progressing a lot. She was like learning Ember.js, stuff like this. And so we asked her if she wants to be a co-organizer so we can split responsibilities a bit more. And also, very important for me, having an organizer that's rather a beginner is great because that makes people not feel like, oh, everybody's expert and organizer and coach and professional and I'm the learner. Should be more like on eye level. So in this case, having an organizer being also a kind of beginner is great. And she kept learning and then actually she found a job as a developer for a biology JavaScript thing. It was like perfect. This is actually my personal favorite success story. But I also hear of others saying, oh, we have someone in the Python group and he just got a job and he was saying thank you because like we helped a lot and stuff like this. Happens quite a bit, yeah.
Okay, so it's actually really something that helps people to start a career in programming.
Yeah, or just helping understand how technology works. Sometimes people come and say, well, I don't want to be a programmer, but I work with programmers and I want to understand more how that works or something like this. Or also like for a hobby saying, oh, I really want to build like an Arduino doing something at home, something like this. And if people actually achieve their goal, I would call that a success story.
Yeah, sounds really great. So, I mean, there are probably similar organizations, I guess. So can you give examples of some of them?
We talked about Rails Girls already. I think they are really important and big one. And it's actually really hard to keep track of all of these organizations. We're just one of many. And I'm always torn between, Open Tech School, we should kind of include everyone, which is never going to work because this is not how it works. Partner more. It's again a lot of organizational work, but we like to partner. This is actually what turns out to be more productive than talking to each other about, hey, you should become part of us or the other way around. So we do partner with Rails Girls when they have a Ruby workshop. Sometimes they ask us to provide some HTML, CSS coaching and some material because that's what they don't focus on, which is great. I mean, we started being inspired by Rails Girls and then we start partnering with them. It's a good story. What else? There's a lot of things online. Free Code Camp is something I can think of. It's still on my list to really get into it and understand how it works because they, I think they're doing an amazing job and they are growing fast. But so far, I think it's focused on online. And so what we do is like we say like people can come to our events, like to our co-learnings and do the Free Code Camp stuff online. So we're kind of merging with them in a way.
So that's something that you would usually do online, the Free Code Camp.
As far as I understand, they have a curated list of online material, even from other sources. So they solve the problem of where to start, what to do next. And it seems like they're providing more and more things, but I should really look into it more. I don't really know. And they also have these online communities where they encourage people to meet in person. And actually, I got in touch with them once and said, like, hey, you can come to our events because this is a great match. Like,
right.
We don't have the best material available, but we have a great community. You have a good list of great material. We can just do that together.
Okay. What about the app Summer Camps?
As far as I understood it, something that happened in the Open Tech School Hamburg community. As I already mentioned, there were some teachers and I think they grew and they got a lot of funding now and they're doing amazing stuff like showing students in schools how to do apps and also do the same thing, motivate them to learn more, to make it accessible, say like, look, you're using these apps all the time. It's not magic. You can do it yourself.
And then that would happen during the summer vacation, I guess. As they are called app summer camps.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And they also have these IT labs, I believe.
Wow. IT labs was happening in Berlin, I think, from Technologie Stiftung Berlin. And I think they try to connect industry and universities and these things and also schools. I think mainly schools. And so Open Tech School was kind of involved sending coaches and organizing some things. It's currently not happening anymore. It's like, yeah, so we had a lot of, we had a few things also getting in touch with schools, but it's a bit of a different story because most of the things we talked about are for adults.
Right.
So we're not sure. It's like, okay, we're Open Tech School, so we can try these things. But I think we're mostly for adults.
Right. What about the Node School?
Node School is also one of the things that you could compare a little bit.
Okay.
They're focusing, like really focusing on Node.js.
Right.
They have like a lot of material that you do in the console and have like some fun responses when you do exercises. We got in touch with actually one of the organizers of Node School Berlin also came to our co-learning once and we kind of got in touch and said like, hey, this is great what you're doing. We're Open Tech School. We don't want to focus on Node, but why not add it? And why have a separate, we can help you with we can help you with promotion because we have this huge meetup group. You can just be part of that. So we just said like, okay, we're partnering. You can keep the Node School brand, but you can also use the Open Tech School brand. And we're kind of cross-promoting. And we just make sure that our values are the same, which in this case really works out.
Okay. And what about the CSS classes? I think they are also similar.
Yeah, CSS classes is actually... it's basically what we do in Open Tech School, but focusing on CSS.
Okay.
And it's coming out of the CSS conference group. But actually, these people also used to be founders of Open Tech School. So there's a lot of kind of family style. And they don't want to spend too much time in open tech school organizational stuff. I discussed with them a lot. So we accept that they have their own brand and they are focusing a lot of this like conference plus workshops thing. So again, we're partnering. So we have a few people that are active in both groups. We're cross-promoting and we're always recommending their material if people want to do CSS because it's really great. And yeah, their workshops are also kind of an evolution of what we did so far in Open Tech School, being a mix of a workshop with a fixed set of material and some kind of curriculum and these open co-learnings where you basically can whatever you want to do. And their workshop are like one-day workshop, but kind of for every level, which is actually great.
Yeah, sounds really great. So given that this is quite an active group, still the question is, how do you sustain that? How do you make sure that it stays around?
Yeah, that's a very good question for these kind of initiatives. I think the co-learnings are an answer to that because you don't have to do so much. This kind of, I don't know if it's it's kind of people burn out fast in this kind of initiatives because they organize a lot of things and they create a website and the branding and everything. And then after doing it three times, they feel like, okay, it's a lot. So how do I sustain this with my job? And it's
right.
So, you see a lot of these things happening and then they disappear again. And we have the same problem in Open Tech School, for instance, with the workshops that currently are not happening so much. We can always bring them back, and I think we will, but this is hard in terms of sustaining things. So the co-learnings are actually super sustainable because the benefit is really high and the maintenance is really low. And you can integrate it into your normal week's rhythm. So most of the co-learnings are every 2 weeks or once a month. So people are like, okay, I can do this for a long time. Like, okay, I'm committing myself to at least go every second co-learning. So I talk to my co-organizers. So once a month, one night a week, I can do this for a long time. It's not like, okay, after the third thing, it's too much for me. So this works great in terms of sustaining. And this keeps the community active and growing. Otherwise, we are thinking a lot about getting some kind of funding or more donations to pay some people for organizing stuff. And that would actually help us a lot, I think. But it's all ideas currently.
Okay, cool. So this really seems like a great idea and I really want to join. So how would I attend an open tech school or a similar event?
You go to the website opentechschool.org. You find your chapter and the meetup group and you just check the calendar and see what appeals to you and you just
go there.
Go there, yes. For a workshop, you have to sign up, and there's limited space, of course. Co-learnings are usually open because there's not too many people coming.
Scale. Right. Okay, so let's assume that there is no local open tech school. What do I do?
If you're really dedicated to starting something, that's amazing. You just get in touch with us, maybe in the forum. We have a Discourse forum, or you just write an email or social media somehow. We have a lot of channels, so it's hard to decide. And you just make yourself heard and say, I want to start something. And then we usually support in trying to find other people in the same area. So if you have a little group ready, actually we are going to help you with setting up some infrastructure, like social media, meetup group, something that we actually have to pay for, but we cover that. Giving you a lot of tips how to do this. We'll have a call probably or something. And then we usually would recommend you start with some kind of co-learning or initial workshop and see how it goes from there.
Do you have any idea how long that would take me or how much effort that would be to start my own chapter somewhere?
I think it depends if you're able to create a little community. If you're basically on your own, you're on your own. So that's tough, and that's probably not going to work out because of the community thinking we have. So you need to find a few people that want to do this. And then if you have a few people around you and you don't think too big, you more think in terms of like frequent co-learning, learners meetup maybe, and then once a year workshop or something, I think that's possible and it's not too much work.
Yeah, because it really doesn't sound like a lot of work, to be honest, like setting up a co-learning event every week. That seems to be...
You don't have to do it every week. The only one that's every week is the web front-end co-learning, and we have like four core organizers, and that's not really necessary. But depending on your city, if you just put it on Meetup...
people might just show up.
Yeah, you will have a small group of people, and then you see if there's actually interest in making this bigger.
Yeah, and as you said, you would help the people to set up that Meetup group. By the way, is this something that is like limited to Germany? Because we were talking about, you know, Berlin, Hamburg, and in particular those chapters. Or could I also do it if I'm, you know, in the States or somewhere else?
No, of course. Like, we have a lot of inactive chapters, unfortunately, but they are all over the world. Like, Australia and Melbourne was really active.
Oh, okay.
The story was that actually someone visited Berlin from there. He was part of the Berlin group quite some time, and then he moved back, and he got that started there. And so they also had like some spaces where they could go. They had a big community. And then some people stopped doing it, so currently it's kind of on hold. But we had chapters, or we're having inactive chapters in a lot of places in the world, and there's nothing that stops you from doing it somewhere else. There's nothing Germany-specific or European-specific. It's culturally, it's interesting if you actually have the same kind of do-it-yourself approach. Like, for instance... I was traveling a bit in East Africa, and I started something in Nairobi just to try it out, because I got to know some people there that did similar things and say, hey, let's try the open tech school concept. And I think there was not enough interest because everybody was already doing something else kind of in the same field. But also we got this feedback that just do it yourself and everything's for free was not so interesting there, because they got a lot of sponsored events there. And they kind of got used to big companies presenting stuff for them and paying lunch. Or in Sweden, in Stockholm, we did some things and we said like, oh, we do Saturday, Sunday. And everybody was like, sorry, Sunday is family day. So things are different in different places in the world.
Okay, so you probably need to figure out how to do it there. What kind of help are you looking for?
What kind of help? Be a nice participant is great.
Okay.
Be a coach, even better. There's not much you have to commit to. You can just come once and help people. Like, this happens sometimes at the co-learnings. In the introduction round, someone's like, oh, I'm here for the first time. I just wanted to help other people. I'm good in JavaScript. This is really great.
Okay.
We would need help in social media and promotion and stuff like this a lot. I think we could reach much more people if we were better on Facebook, for instance. Nobody wants to do that in the current community. We would like to get donations. You can become a member of the German Foundation and pay a little fee and, well, be part of it and then decide where we are heading and how to spend the little money we have, or maybe in the future more money.
And it's tax deductible, right?
Yes, of course, of course. What else? We could need help in like reaching out to people and tell them about this. We want to partner more with like schools, universities, social workers. Get the word out, because we're quite in a bubble, to be honest, which is sad.
Yeah. That's true. What about companies sponsoring you? Is that something that you do, or is it limited to persons?
We're open to that. it's like kind of a chicken egg problem, because I think you get donations if you ask for donations in a certain way and tell them what you will do with the money. But that's something you have to organize. And actually what we would need is someone organizing that. I think there would be companies ready to sponsor stuff. We wouldn't be open to like promote them too much, because we want to be independent and do it yourself. That wouldn't match so much. But if someone would like to support us financially, I mean, we do get support already. Like we go to co-working spaces for free in the evenings or in the weekends. These like space donations are important to us too. In other cities than Berlin, sometimes this is hard. So how a company can also support us is just sending people. Like if you're a tech company, well, give your developers 2 hours off in 2 weeks and send them to a co-learning or something. And they will actually be better developers too, is what I think.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, as you pointed out, that being a coach actually helps to become a better developer and better better architect yourself.
Yeah,
that's true.
Then we're working on a new website, so help with that is appreciated. It's on GitHub, it's, everything's open. All of these things. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so thanks a lot. I think that's what Umtech School is, really a very impressive project, and you're doing great things. So thanks a lot for taking the time and talking to me. And we will put some of the links that we mentioned for Umtech School and so on in the show notes. So feel free to browse them and take a look around. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, too. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.